Welcome to the 25 Years of Vampire the Masquerade podcast, a retrospective.
All right, here we are diving into V5 Blood Sigils, everybody. I, of course, am Bob, and I'm here with Mike. Mike, how we doing?
Pretty good, man. It's a good morning. I ate.
Mike ate, and it's the morning. For me, it's like dinner time. You know, not even early, it's like 6 o'clock, you know, for parents, that's like midnight, right? That's what it feels like these days. That's how it goes. That aside, how do you feel about Renegade Studios?
So I'm wondering, and you'll probably know this, even though I'm not sure about it. Does Renegade make all the good books?
See, that's the interesting feeling about it. Here's the thing. Like, a lot of the writing, definitely, I mean, when I remember hearing that, I didn't bother diving deep and researching them, because why? We're doing books. It's not about Renegade Studios. But here's the thing. A title that, sure, you know, a company might own the license, but it's released by Renegade, meaning they did the book, right? They're there. Mm-hmm. I really think they need to keep doing that. Like, just don't touch it. Like Paradox, don't touch it. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. The World of Darkness brand team, it's great you're there. Just keep smiling, Colgate, tooth whitener, stay over to the side, and just let Renegade do books. Let them do books, and it's leave working. Them the fuck, leave them alone, because it's working. You know, it's not just working. I feel that they took the nonsense out of the books. You know, there's always a lot of hype and hoopla, and people are apologizing and all this bullshit, and it feels like Renegade made Blood Sigils and went, we don't understand what the problem is. Like, what's all that? It's a game. It's a book. You write things. You put it in the book. They like it. They buy it. They don't like it. You leave it alone. But what you don't do is get in the mud with everyone and decide you're going to waste your day apologizing.
No time for
fiction,
that.
Right? I had that feeling the whole time. Like, they're sitting back here. They're kind of making chuckles about writing this material. Like, to be a fly in a room to go, yeah, we love the material. It's great. And it's a game. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, have you read Vampire? Yeah, not really. But, you know, enough that you gave me to know we can write a book about fucking thaumaturgy. He's like, we don't want to call it thaumaturgy. Yeah, whatever. Well, you want us to make it up? Yeah, you make it up. Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. Just, we're over here in the corner. This is us doing our thing. No harm, no foul. And to that, it's a good starter, man. I'm glad we're on the same page with that, because I want to let folks know, obviously, we think it's a good book. But there are people who are going to hate V5 still because they, I don't know. I'm going to state this. I'm to the point now where if you're a hater of any product and you're still chiming in, if you're still buying their books and chiming in on forums, and then stop being, you're not a hater. You're part of the marketing team. Okay. That's where you're at, because everybody wants to see what you're arguing about. They're going to read it, look it up, because you haven't figured out if you just shut the, you know, then nobody would have you to jump off of. It is what it is.
Every regime needs a loyal opposition, Bob.
I am so done listening to people just kind of, you know, there are folks who are non-confrontational that believe the world revolves around non-confrontational people, right? That it's, hey, if we avoid conflict and just like find different ways to passively let people know, the world kind of moves on, right? No, it doesn't. Actually, it takes a doer to step forward and say, hey, we're doing this now. And then you to like, I'm completely against it, but I'm not going to say anything because you're too confident. You know, that's just my feeling. Like, if the idea I have is wrong, I'm a good natured person. If I step forward doing something that's wrong and nobody tells me, well, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. And about something wrong, you don't just go, I don't like that. I have a toddler. She doesn't even do that. And she's a fucking toddler. You know what I mean? When she doesn't like something, she looks at this gesture, Mike. She shoves her hand, her little hand, as far as she can when we go to feed her something she doesn't like, which I think recently was like some sort of tomato spinach thing. It's just a combo of it. Toddlers don't like combos of food, and we're trying to introduce that. So she'll try it first, and she'll look at me with a pained look in her face like, Dad, why? And then she'll pull it out of her mouth. You're like, okay, sweetie, well, let's try one more time. And then we'll try to trick her, give her a little bread. She likes bread, and then switch over to some rice pilaf or whatever, and she'll eat that no problem, then go back to that dish to make sure she didn't like it, and she confidently sticks out her hand and she's like, no, waves her hand off, and I'm like, that is somebody who is not afraid to confront what they like and don't, and that's a good sign, and that's a very good sign.
Yeah, now cultivate that.
I'm sitting there saying to myself, like, well, not everybody can be me or my daughter or Moa, or I could sit here and say, folks, find confidence, at least in nerddom. If you're a nerd and you love a book and you like a product, your money endorses the product. If you don't like who's making it, don't endorse it. And that's all we're going to say. Every V5, we have to come up and do this, because if you put V5 on the title, a lot of our fans anyway seem to think that's carte blanche to bitch. It's not. It's literally just, this is a book and this is the edition or series or whatever it's come out of. So with that, we'll move forward. Oh, by the way, if I offended you, that be offended, right? It's cool. It's totally fine. I don't care that I offended you with that comment, but you need to know that. Like, you're upset, cool. But if you're upset and it's to something that I had said, like, you're indifferent to how I feel. No, any human being, you should care how they feel. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a point where we got to grow up and realize this is just fiction. This is just fun. This is just a hobby. Not everything could be a hit out the park. However, this book is. So we'll get into it. That said, Mike, thank you for coming on that journey. I set aside for 5 minutes of it. Because ironically, what you won't find in this book is somebody apologizing they made it. Thank fucking God for that. I think that was worth me, you know, chiming in on it alone. And that's because I'll suck, but the book don't. You know what I mean? And that's that's how it comes down to. But it's not all fun and games. I got to tell you, Mike, you happen to be a black man.
That happened. That is the case. Yes.
You happen to be. You know, I happen to be a black man, right? That's pretty
good.
That
is the case. Can confirm. Okay.
So when you see a Blood Sigils book and they put, like, you know what that front cover, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 He's about that action, boss. I appreciated that picture. I like it very much.
I saw that pic and I sat there and went, it's a 70s flavor, but is this a black exploitation book?
It could have been.
It's I was blown away. I saw it and I was like, man, I just don't understand what it is. And then I got to looking at other covers when they have like the chic goth white guy in the front or chick. And they're all like, we're dangerous and look at us. We might be Eastern Europe. leather. Nah. But we get the black guy who's like, yeah, nigga, I ate him. Right? And he's got the blood painted on his face. And I was like, going, okay, bold choice.
Bold choice. Show, don't tell.
It slapped me. And you know how black don't crack? I want you to know about a secret about a black vampire. White don't stain. Their white teeth don't stain.
Perfect. Perfectly white.
Them ivories are golden. You know what I mean? It's, well, white. They're ivory. That's how it is, right? And there was a whole trip. I went on for like a half hour when I saw this book and I went there and I was like, I just know that I feel a comedic value is here to open up. So on one hand, I could open this up and I could have been like, it's the Blood Sigils book. Finally, they have an African on the cover. That'll shut Mike up. Jeez. There they are. One in the books for you, fellas. You know, black vampires matter. You know, whatever. And I sat there and I was like, or what I could say is, it's just the nationality pick for the book you don't normally see, and they did well for it. I just didn't know.
That's a consistency through this book, by the way. Just like as an aside, they started naming off cities from everywhere. Brown people, yellow people, purple people. Everybody gets a call out in this text. I liked it.
So the diversity is, yes, that's a piece I was going to mention later, but absolutely. But I like, here's the difference. There's a diversity where you're try hard to be diverse. You're too try hard. Where somebody went to like an indigenous course and they hired this indigenous person to sit down and go, excuse me, white people, you cannot talk about that. That is not for you. You need to change it or remove it. Or I am so offended. Nah, they were like, where's the city of Oregon? Yeah, I don't imagine, what is that, it's like southern Iraq? I don't imagine there's a whole lot of us over there, is it? No? Okay, well, what are they like then? What are the people like? Ah, let's not get into it. Oh, there's enough talk about elsewhere on the internet to give a storyteller an idea? Yeah, you're getting a blurb then. We'll just throw it to you in a blurb. It's occulty. Enjoy. Let's move on. All right, wait a second. Well, what do you feel about Sioris? That's destroyed, isn't it? Well, we'll throw that in a book, too. Wait a minute. What? You threw that in a book, too? Yeah, well, yeah, why not? You know, the Austrians got their ass beat. It must suck to be you. And it's in the world, but we don't think it should be ignored. There are fans of it, after all, aren't there? And I was like, what? What? You care there are fans of that type of shit? He goes, not only do we care, it's updated material. You got to have something to it. So we threw something in. Here's a blurb for that. And I was like, God, he's the only thing they're missing. The only thing they're missing. They're like, Bob. Wait, there's more. Did you know that there was a mountain that was ruined? And a whole bunch of, they used to be called Children of Hakim, switched to Banu Hakim because religion and popularity in the times. And that was wrecked. It's but a burning husk. Who knows what happened? We know you don't, and so we won't answer that here. Maybe perhaps later, but that's money on the table somewhere else. This book, it's just its relationship is to like Klein Tremere. We salvo nuked the Tremere Chantry and we burnt the shit out of the other one in the mountains of Alamut, and that's it. That's not the focus. They're gone. But if you happen to want to mention them, I'm certain there's a blood magician somewhere who went there and collected a bunch of kefir, and he'll sell it out of a cart to you somewhere. I don't know. It's your game. Knock yourself out. Also not the focus. But right. There it is. You're a fan. And that's the diversity I'm talking about, where they went through and they were like, we're not going to leave anybody out. We're just going to throw what we found interesting in and fearlessly talk about it.
Yep. For sure. 100%. And the thing is, you know, as they should not have done, they did not give short shrift to the Banu Hakim, right? They kind of say you basically have Thin Bloods, Tremere, and Banu Hakim with a little bit of ministry stirred in there, who are like the pillars of the world of blood sorcery. It's not like they pushed to the side, right? All of that stuff that we fans from V20 enjoyed about our particular flavor of blood sorcery, whatever that might have been. But at the same time, they wrote a book about the thing they wanted to talk about instead of...
Order. I cannot have you just simply run off script here. We have points to make.
Sorry.
There is a process. First off, our hats off to Renegade Studios. We think you did a wonderful job. We said that. That's the official where I plan to say it. There you go. I also like to say that I think it feels like a solid team endeavor. There was trust given to other folks to see how it kind of goes. And I kind of feel a healings here. With the fans and whatnot. And that's come along just fine where it is. I also enjoy the way they put things. For instance, when they tell you about what this book is, this is a quote from them. They say it's about red workers. Vampires who seek out rituals, formulae, who try to gain power to understand through blood sorcery, thin blood alchemy, and the sketchy neighborhoods, old libraries, and dangerous illegal gatherings they frequent. That's right. We're not calling them merely occultists, and we're not going to continue to call them thaumaturges, which thaumaturgy is the way of miracles. I don't even know what that thaumaturgy really would be like to say, but it feels old. It feels dated. So even as a V20 fan, when I thought of like Clan Tremere must sit at the apex, they're the ones who have it. The other clans kind of have their own blood sorcery. It's older. Who's more powerful? Who's not? And then they were like, okay, Bob, pause. We'll give you two books. Blood magic, secrets of thaumaturgy. We'll over explain what stuff is, but give you some meat to go through it. I love that book still. But then we'll give you a second book, which is like the other weird stuff we thought to get to, but we didn't quite get to, that you can read as well. Now you got two books for the price of, well, two books. And it was like, okay, no big deal. I honestly don't have a problem with it. But it felt like it was like, here's some religion and history mixed in, and now buy this book because we put discipline powers in it. Well, Blood Sigils is like, yeah, you're going to get more of that here too. No doubt. They're like, no bones about it. They're like, yeah, you're going to do that, but we feel it's not cool to call it that. So
punch it up.
Right, punch exactly. It up. My question is, Mike, does Blood Sigils honor the fan fascination surrounding blood thaumaturgy or sorcery, however you want to call it, of the occult scene?
Absolutely. 100%. Okay, I'm going to try not to get off script again. Not only does it honor the fan fascination, but with everything that they call out in this book, there's maybe a paragraph, maybe two pages of some story attached to it, either just like fiction that they're giving you, for example, or stuff you can do with it at your game, right? So it's not just a book of here's a new faction or here's more powers. They like weave this thing where you can't tell, right? When they're sliding back and forth between narrative and tools to assist you and cool powers. It's like a tapestry. It's very good.
And I saw where it was going to catch appeal to you, and I'm going to go on a limb because I know you like it do. There's a lot of mechanic, less story pump that's in this book. But they combine them both, but they do it very neatly. Like, it's just the right amount of mechanic that meets the story that then says, use it. Right, here's both. You got it? Good luck. Let us know how it works out. And I think that's done beautifully. But does it capture the fascination? I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't know that it does. And it's rough for people to hear that because I often take myself out of that. I want as much creepy walkthrough unknown mystique as you can get, especially for vampires, because they're not the most powerful entity, even especially in a world of darkness. They're not. It's what you focus on, but there are far worse things that exist out there. And the key to finding them is, well, blood sorcery.
Yeah.
That's what vampires use. You mess with something you shouldn't, and then, you know, that's what comes down. However, I then find myself going, but, you know, one of the things they cite in here that's a good thing to watch and kind of catch abreast on is The Ninth Gate. It's a great film, and it's a great book for this. And this book does have the feel of The Ninth Gate, where there's a society of occultists out there, but they're very nepotistic and elitist and very hard to get into. And if you're not there seen, then you're not getting in. And it's that simple. And good luck to you. But you may be one of the people who are the eye of the storm, and you're just walking through and you happen to keep stumbling upon the information nobody should ever see. And what do you do with that? And they more than play with that. They give you that world. They portray that world in here in pieces. And I'm like, that's very cool.
Yeah.
But, and it's not even a critique. But if you're a fan of 20th and you come over, you were kind of hyped up, right? You were told the Tremere Chantry were the apex. They had the best of the best, and their chantry was just super secret and super occulty and had all this stuff that made them able to do more things. And it's there. But what a difference, you know, blood sorcery is to Alamut, and it's way more different. And a difference it is if you go down to Haiti and they do it different. And everybody in blood sorcery is more ancient and more powerful and blah, blah, blah. And Blood Sigils just has a way of going, not really. You know, no matter what you want to call it, a hamburger is a hamburger. You have two pieces of bread. You have some cooked meat. You throw it in there. You can add cheese. Don't add cheese. Have lettuce. If you add cheese, it's a cheeseburger, I suppose. But either way, it's ground up meat, fried, and put on two pieces. It's called a hamburger. I don't, how do you make a hamburger, and why would you call it something different? And they're not wrong. Right. And then hit with that. I'm like, yeah, you know, you can get a little full of shit in yourself thinking the occult has to be something more than that, I suppose. But then it makes you question everything. Right. Once I started pulling that thread off this book, you know what I mean? Did you feel that a little?
Well, so, yes, I felt that there was like a leveling of expectations for sure. Everybody's got their own flavor. Everybody, occult is occult is occult. At the same time, though, they didn't like fully dispense with the wonder and the pride that these different groups and factions have in their manner of practice, right? Like every time they slide away from talking about something stiff or mechanical, and they start telling you how a person feels or what they see or how certain things play out in a given scene, quote unquote, you go back to that feeling of wonderment from whoever's perspective you happen to be at the time in the book.
Here's the thing. When you're a horror film fan, you like to get scared. You like to know the big scares around the corner, or like the origins are terrifying and what could you do, feeling real small and infinite universe, that sort of feel. And that's what the occult has to do. When you dumb it down and trim it down, you basically are the blind leading the blind. You're not aware of what that could happen at the end. And then you just... Well, it's a different playing field. Now, I just want you to know, it's not that I tricked you. It's that I wanted you to hear that out loud. I am somebody who can enjoy both sides of the fence, but this book is designed to take someone who has those highbrow issues. My clan should be better. And they punch it in the face. That's just not what V5 is. It's not to say that that world doesn't exist or that that didn't exist. It's to say that now the new scene, as they call it, happens to be blood thaumaturgy, blood sorcery. That's where it's at. It's, in fact, they don't even refer to it. It's just called the scene. Right? That's what it is. The theme and mood, though, of this book is consequences. That's the point of it. And that's really why I like this book. It tells you flat out that's what it is. That's as intended, Bob. You know? The theme of this book is consequences. Magic comes at a cost in resources, time, and enmity. Nothing happens without payback and blowback because the ecology and the economy keep getting stirred up. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. What does that mean? It means for everyone who's going to have that, everyone's going to play a Tremere, you don't have a super chantry to back you. You got to do it on your own. And in a city where you're doing it on your own, you're looking for an artifact book that has more ritual and blood sorcery in it. Turns out, so are the Banu Akeem who know about it. Oh, but wait, this Malk in the corner just wants it because it looks good on his shelf. And they're into that sort of thing. Oh, wait a second. Some occult buyer with megabucks is going to buy it? And he came with an armed bodyguards with weird symbols in their armor? Yeah? Oh, wow, that's getting weird. Wait a minute. There's a guy that looked like a crackhead who was eating cockroaches at the meetup who told you it was going to cost more than money? And had a weird contract made out of skin?
And what is that all about?
Right. That's what this book does. It says, hey, yeah, we're all here for the meat for the super rare book, but can you afford it? Are you aware of what it's going to cost? And some of you came with a beat squad waiting in the car. So when you hear that the book is on scene, you're coming to take it all. However, that guy eating roaches is smiling as you kill everybody in the room to take that book, including him. And you never know why he's smiling. You leave with that book, and the one thing your friends can't get out of their head is, why was that guy smiling when we were eating everybody? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and someone goes, it might be in that book we just got. And your friend goes, no, don't pay attention to that, but it's my book. I told you guys, I'm going to learn it in here, and then we're going to blood alchemy the shit out of this. We're going to take it back to our little thin blood camp and figure out how to water it down to make shit that works for us. And then I sat there and said to myself, I thought of a whole new campaign out of the simple aspect of that consequence. And this book is set to help somebody like that.
Yeah.
To say, I'm glad you feel that way. Let me take you on a journey. And that's a good thing.
It's littered with inspiration.
But so they're not called red workers, right? They're not longer thaumaturges, nothing like that. Everybody's a red worker if you're a vampire anyway. And that's cool. No big deal. Just an industry term. But it's about what works regardless of the cost of if it's powerful and quick enough. That's what it's all about. It's non-traditional approach to occult secrets. It's about basically if your God isn't answering your prayers in the form of power, get a new God.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what's here. If your one cult's not working, join the other one. And while you're at it, join them all. They all have something that might help you get what you want done. Because if it's about power, you will do whatever it takes to make you more powerful. But it comes at a cost. You know, better to not look back when you begin. Right? Just know it's not worth it. If you're somebody afraid to take leaps like that, then this scene isn't for you. It's as simple as that. Now, there's two quotes in here that I really love to see. One, they have it in here from a ritual magician, A.E. Waite, that says, there are few things more dull than a criticism which maintains that a thesis is untrue and cannot understand that it is decorative. Right? So what that's saying is, if you're into something and it seems cool and that's what they went with, but you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make much sense. And you can't get the fact that that's decorative. It wasn't designed to do anything but entertain. It's there to entertain you or seem cool into itself. And just because you don't get it doesn't mean someone else doesn't and they can't use it to effect for what they're using it for. Right? That's what I took it to mean. And I very, very much felt it was at heart. Combined with the quote of the book that said, this is the secret key to magic. Cool works better than dull. That's where I was like, man, I want to get coffee with Renegade Studios. If that ain't the fucking truth, right? If that didn't describe all of Vampire the Masquerade fans and everything, it who gives a shit if it's true? If it's cool, I want to play it. I want to use it.
You know, yeah, you just reminded me of something. You let me know if I'm too far off script, right? Because so thematically, there's places here in this book where we see like people talking about super scientific processes, like net church level stuff of let me tie the guy down and test his blood and
sure,
I don't know, put it into a beaker and whatnot. You don't think that kind of trespassed over the line of what's cool?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. We don't understand how vampires exist. Fundamentally, there is no writing and no book and no game anywhere that can tell you Dracula is the reason vampires exist. Well, they existed before Dracula, so that don't make any sense. Well, if Cain and Abel's story is really true, well, then it's Cain and God is real, and then there's the devil. Why would I want? Aren't vampires demons? Well, we can't confirm that one way or the other. Sounds good, though. If it's good for you, work it. You could even look at, Palladium had a go of it, where their vampires were affected by water, and it was alien intelligence that made vampires. Like, okay, that's a type of vampire, I suppose. Kind of does the same thing. But is that real vampires? And they're like, well, maybe not. because there were Acadian vampires and then there were different things. And there's demons that are like vampires. In other words, vampires, the word is cool unto itself. It doesn't matter their origins, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to throw that out mm-hmm. your head. You got to let it go. So mm-hmm. it would depend on why I say you got to let it go is because what you're hearing is their interpretation of what it could be. But they don't get into it wisely. Why would you get into it? It's better to hear somebody's theory that they believe they're exploring it and understanding it and where they're going for, and for you to go, I don't know if that's going to work. And you're sitting back seeing the justification. And that's the trick. Let's
keep the camera rolling.
If you keep the camera rolling, but you don't ever want the camera to say, that's how it's done. We're all good, folks. Because the moment it does that, that means that somebody's standing up and saying we're correct and everybody else is wrong. That's the wrong feeling. You want it to be all inclusive, that everybody's theory could be correct. And so that's the cool thing about this occult stuff they have here in the book, is in particular when it relates to, like you say, a scientific process to discover vampirism. That's a cool effect. Where it would be uncool, well, let's just jump the gun a tad, right? It's in the magic section, but they call down sorceries in this book. I'm just going to tell everybody that. Mm-hmm. But they do it in a way that I think that it's cheeky. They both simultaneously kind of poke fun at those who like Khaldun and absolutely had to have it. And at the same time, they honor the bloodletting that was all over Bloods. Do you remember Vampire was always like, it'll cost you a blood. I open up my hand. I cut open my hand. I bite my wrist. I theatrically, I cut my nipple. It's the cold man's nipple left by Satan's satanic rite of debauchery that made me a witch that I wasn't burned for. Luckily, I was saved by the Sabbat. A whole bunch of ridiculous shit done for it. And in this book, for every coldonic rite, they're like, okay, go back to the cut you made that originally made you a Khaldun and reopen the wound. Right? However you got to do it. It's like it heals. It gives a description. It's a scar. And you just got cut there every time. And why is that? They don't answer it. They don't answer it. You don't have to answer it. But but logically, what are you thinking when you do it? And I thought it makes sense because that's where the magic is. Right? That's the wound I originally did to make the binding. And so that's how I could do Khaldun, is because of that wound. You know? And I was like, okay, good enough for me. But I knew somewhere. I said, but what if I have a player playing a Khaldun? And we know what they're going to say? I lost my left arm where I had my Khaldonic wound. Does that mean I can't practice my Khaldonic sorcery? And you know what I'm going to do as a storyteller? Yeah, it seems to suck. It seems you believe that's what happened. Oh, great. I lost my 5 levels of Khaldonic sorcery. Yeah, that sucks. You feel that way. Bob, would you really do it to a player? Yeah, if you're going to tell me that you're psychologically impaired because the boo-boo you had when you firstly made it, like that's part of the ritual, that's gone. Why don't you just heal your arm, stupid? Heal your arm, get it back, it's there, use your ritual, I guess you're fine. Or just say that, no, I did the right to have it, you blew off my arm, it just has to come from that side. I mean, they don't even get into any of that, and they don't need to. They're like, this is how you do it, and there it is. And I sat there and said to myself, this is somebody going, y'all way too serious. Like, this is a means and a way, and there you go, this is how you would make it. Is that Khaldun? Yeah, it's Khaldun as hell. Right? That makes sense. Of the earth, of the blood, your elements, your binding, it's in the book, it's there. Sounds great. Now, is it chock filled with Khaldonic sorcery? Yeah, it gives you 4 or 5 things to read and understand that it's there. Good enough for it honors what came before. Is it the diversity that V20 offered all Khaldonic sorcery? Newsflash, V20 didn't offer Khaldonic sorcerers that much either. You know, before you go down in there, like it had a couple paths, but ultimately it was
like it
wasn't much. It was there. You got an idea. And let's not forget, they were like, it's Khaldonic sorcery is elemental at first. And then it was like, no, it's not elemental. It's the Crania. Let's rechange and revamp it. And it's over here. It's Crania. It's European. Let's make it European. And then it was like, but we only know really 3 paths that make it European. We're not going to give you any more than that. We're just, you know. And I was like, okay. So what do they do for V5? Literally said, we're going to dumb it down. We're gonna make it real simple. Still have that creep feel. That's gonna match that, and you're good.
But see, they did dumb it down, but they did this thing that you would think would happen more often in Vampire. They like hit the pause button and they said, if you're gonna have to develop a new Khaldunic sorcery ritual for your game, here's the paragraph about the type of things Khalduns care about. They tend to focus on rituals that, you know, affect the earth and bind people into their service. Khuldun guy in like 150 words. And then they did it for the other disciplines of sorcery in the same section. Just that quick. So at the same time of it being simplified, I feel like that little inclusion for those of us who want to be the players who like ask our ST, can I make up a new ritual? Or those of us who want to be the STs who can offer something that the players can't predict because it's not already in the book. They gave us our push, our nudge, our little assist, right? To make use of the stuff they wrote.
And what it comes down is that they're not going to waste ink.
Yeah.
Revamping powers in previous books to bring them up. They even did that for a couple. And that's the reason why, to show you that anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. Follow the format for V5. If there's a ritual you really liked, it's already made. Just update the rules. Bring it into V5. Boom, you have it. It's really not hard, but they're not going to waste time doing it because that would be cheating us. How would you feel to grab a V5 book, new thaumaturgy, chock filled with shit that was in V20?
Like, wait a minute.
I'd be hot. I'd be heated, right? And even still, you kind of get a book that does that, but it's the way they present it. It's mm-hmm. the way they present it. You know, mm-hmm. Because what they're saying is, this is like, we create a scene, and we're going to go back to that here first. So actually, let's get back to where we started here, because we did get off the rails. I'm going to say that. Apologize, folks. First and foremost, there's a whole new thing called a scene that they created in this book. This book has two major sections. The scene is for the players. That's what it's called. And what they mean by the scene is by the social term, right? You know, making a scene. And in this case, it's the occult. And to do that, to make it new, to feel new, they had to update, you know, a lot of the terminology. And so they come up with a whole bunch of new magical words that you're going to have to read to get in there. Cool words are, as they put it, cool words are part of why people read magic books. And they're not wrong.
Yep.
And perhaps, you know, in a sorcery-themed chronicle, you might want to update your shit. And so here's some ancient words, right? It's Apilu, which is from the Akkadian, one who answers, a seemingly sentient blood reflection, plural Apilum, variant Abalum, right? Some creepy words, cool stuff, to just out-and-out slang, right? Where they refer to brew. And that's amongst, thin blood alchemists. It's the result of an alchemical formula, you know, which you can also call an elixir. It's loosely the formula itself. You know, just learned a new brew is how you would use it. And they give an example and they go on and so on and so forth. But what it leaves you with is that you see this scene where you have people who are mega powerful and involved in deep traditional ways to do it. They have terms for them, right? They use the big ancient stuff. Thin blood alchemists, school of what works. They're at the opposite end of we got to steal our power and get it to work for us any way we can. And we deal with elixirs. We cook that stuff. And we, you know, we drink it, down it, however we got to do it. We figure it out. But there's people we get our stuff from. And then you have those folks in the middle, which are, I guess, your red worker typical. You know, we already mentioned, right? I'm that Tremere or that Banu Akeem or that Sedai or a ministry member, whatever it is. You know, we're out there and we kind of know where to find it. But we're in a city where those occult characters that make up the scene should be defined. That's the thing I like about Blood Sigil book. It goes on to tell you in the second part of the book, which is the secrets. And that second part is meant for STs. So I'll tell you right now, they don't tell you not to read it as a player, but you're kind of, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. So if the first part, the secrets, contains magics that you get to look at some new powers and you get an idea how to make your own for players, and that's there. And even some of the characters that you can run into in the scene. You know, people you can make for retainers or contacts or someone to influence, however you want to use them, even if you want to use them as a concept and come in and play that, all that's there for you to do. And they don't tell you, you have to be this to have it, or you need this to have it. They just say, it's your imagination, your story. Here's some cool stuff to use. Mwah. Chef's kiss, as it said. It's brilliant. That's how you need it. Let the imagination dictate what's there. But then they roll on to say, okay, here's some magics, because we know you monkeys want that too. And they're unabashed by that. Like, here you go. We're feeding the animals. Moving on. And then they drop down to storyteller secrets. And when you get to that secret section, that's when they start talking about the good stuff. At least I classify it as the good stuff. That's where you get into, well, SPCs, right? That's where you're really what they're digging at. But I can't just move past that section. Because in the magic chapter, they have good talking points here. That kind of want to get into you with Mike, or at least to mention to folks. You know, Khuldun already mentioned, but then they have another thing that I think people would be highly interested in, and that's chain rituals. Right, it's a new rule they're throwing at you, which is pretty inventive. Mike, what's a chain ritual?
It's basically a ritual that you enact as like a group or circle or whatever your fancy word is for the people you practice sorcery with. Somebody's got to know the big one up top, right? Presumably the leader of your clique. But when you enact them all together because of sympathy or whatever unique rules of the link, they have a greater, significantly more dramatic effect than any of them could possibly have had individually. The downside, of course, is that if any one ritual fails, the big effect doesn't go off.
So, and by that effect, it's not even related to the lesser ones.
Yeah.
So they talk about special. you might have to do a level 1 and a level 3, but then there's this level 5, and that level 5 will have a chain. It's literally highlight like anything else. Here's the mechanics, this chain, and here's the big chain effect. And they tell you what big thing works if all of the other ones go off. So it's kind of interesting and good to see, because there's so much writing on, you know, why are we in an occult group and why are there these circles of occultists practicing these stuff in dungeons? If it doesn't matter, we're all in a group. The closest you're used to seeing is the Giovanni. I'll mention the ritual, but I didn't think of it. The one major Giovanni ritual where they get around a corpse and everybody makes a hole and performs a ritual and they benefit from it, right, with will. And it's a little obscure and weird. It just felt like it was an excuse to get kind of fucked up with your occultism, and that's it. Like, here's some boosted willpower and joy. And it was like, I think I got my boosted willpower when Uncle Augie asked me to put my hoo-hoo in a hoo-ha I made with a knife, right? on the back end of a guy I used to eat dinner with. Like, this is a little messed up. I think that in and of itself made that a very interesting ritual, but did not need it. And how exactly did that rate to occult power, right? You know, like, let's figure that out. Let it go, right? That was back in the day when cocaine was great, right? Hell of a drug. But Renegade updates it, and they say, we can bring up a chain ritual and show you what we meant and what we want to put out. Mike, you said sympathy. It's a good term. These rituals have to have, well, they're inferring a logic to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do a level 1 and a random level 3 and then do a level 5 and go, now it works. I mean, you could. It's your game, and they say that too, but that's not the intention. Also, that makes sense. We're back to that cool factor. Well, what's cool? Well, cool isn't just because you said, you know what I think would work, guys, and would make really neat? Is if I got these two rituals for nothing, they're dirt easy, and then I do, and I get this awesome power at level 5. What do you think? I think the rule of cool is if you think it's cool and you're the only one, that's how it's not cool. See how that works?
Cool requires consensus.
You need a group. You need a group. It needs to hit that style. It needs to make the scene, as it said. And that's just how it goes. And a lot of the powers are to effect. You know, that's how you want to do it. Well, who judges whether my stuff is cool or not? Your whole gaming troop, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to help you with it. They're going to be the ones that let you know and help you out. And it's all in fun. I think anything creative made up on the fly, if it works for your character and people can see it, great. But be open-minded to not someone else's cup of tea and you'll be all right. But chain rituals are here. They got blood sorcery diversity. It is in here, right? They got rituals that directly relate to Banu Akeem being Origins, the Ministry or the Origins. They got rituals that slapped up as the Tremere's old school, like Bind the Accused is back. They had, of course, Khaldun. I mean, there's some diversity here they're showcasing, but it's not exhaustive. It is exhaustive. I should say that. It actually is. Not a whole lot in, but it's there. However, Thin Blood Alchemy is definitely an expansion. There's a lot in here to open it up, because Thin Blood Alchemy is like the school of what works. You know what I mean? It's the easiest way I could say it. Like, you're gonna do a description to temporarily get advantage, and it doesn't need to do a whole lot more than that. Like, it's here, here's what you gotta do to get it, and then here's the effect. And holds true to that crisp new feel that you expect from Thin Blood Alchemy.
So now, please don't accuse me of being a hater. I've already stated several times. Love the book.
Please go. Spit it out. Come on.
Did you feel like the Thin Blood Alchemy was just a little bit extra, like, you know, coffee grounds and chocolate with a little bit of their blood and a little bit of my blood, and we throw up gang size and dance Wittershins around the cauldron, like, if there was
so
a
I think
part,
what you're trying to
go ahead. No, you got it. Go ahead.
Are you trying to say it's basic? It just feels basic.
Well, not basic so much as random. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that it doesn't borrow from those traditions that they are iterating on or like referencing.
Now I got it. I was worried that. Okay. I should have went over this. I was skipping because I felt that we kind of everyone reads this can understand that. You remember this game's based on gothic punk as a genre, right?
Yeah.
What do you feel the punk scene is?
I don't know enough about the punk scene. I understand it to be mostly anarchists who like aggressive, loud music.
So let's break it down. What being punk is this this antipathy, this angst towards the way things are. It's toppling the order. It's taking down the old regimes of power. And basically, anarchy reigns. Let the world fall apart. Let it burn. But we're not going to let these tyrants walk around and rule our world, right? That sort of effect. And so mm-hmm. you defy it. This defiance exists in this book, in V5, in the terms of that's what Thin Bloods are. That's what Thin Blood Alchemy is. You have power because why? You went to a specific city, dug in the sand, and some asshole's diary showed you how to do a... What sense does it make that you have to do a ritual on an ancient site, on a tome of a rock, done at a certain time under a certain constellation? Why does it fucking work? Why does it work at all? And if you answer that question, you're going to get to the point that anybody who hears it in my tone right now is going to go, I don't think Bob's a fan of tradition. It's not that I'm not a fan of tradition. I'm a fan of shit that works. Let me give you an example. I'm a fan of H.P. Lovecraft, occult, because you don't know what it is. And if you do the things in the ritual, they kill you. They will come and take your mind or eat you or both or do something horrible and change you because that's the consequence of poking past a veil you were never supposed to look past. Why am I a fan of that occult? Because that is makes sense. That's cool. That's a logic. You know, caveat emptor, you bought the Necronomicon. Don't use it. But if you do, right, that's on you. That's not very punk. That's just occult fear and why you should be afraid of that a bit. But I think games like Vampire, particularly V5, it's chock-filled with opposing elders. All of it's about opposing elders. Why'd we get rid of Vienna, the Chantry? And why'd we get rid of, Sioris, right? Why'd we dump that? And why did we get rid of the mountain for Alamut and all that? Well, it's because we didn't want any elders coming by and tell us it's done this way. We wanted to get rid of the order so it makes the players feel that they're the new order. They're the new regime. And this is now built on their efforts. Okay, well, if they can do that, then what are the Thin Bloods? Well, they're the ultimate expression that nobody has mastered what the vampire curse is. It's still an unknown power. Well, if it's an unknown power, why is it that a ministry guy can go under the sun in Egypt, go under the moonlight in Egypt, walk around bucket naked, wear some weird hyena jackal mask, pray to Set, dance around in an orgy, and butcher a cat, and then, you know, castrate themselves, and mystically a woman gives birth to a vampire child? That seems like a lot. Why couldn't I just do something different in my house with a can of coffee grounds, using blood and a woman who's fertile, has the egg already, and then I'm thin blood enough to still have sex with her. We imbibe some drug, we inject this stuff, we eat it, and is there a chance that we could do it too? I don't know why it could happen, but maybe that's a way that life happens as well. And then that ministry sect would be, do you think you are a god that you're able to blah, 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 blah? And then that thin blood gets to go, you know what, asshole? I don't think I'm a god, but I think I'm a vampire just like you. And I really think that we have a curse. Yours is stronger. If I had your blood, I probably could have done it without a hitch. But that's why I have this ghoul child now that I don't know how we're going to get it to age. So that's my headache for screwing around. That's my consequence. What happened to your kid? You mean my born living vampire child? Yeah, my elder killed it. For being in defiance to Sutek. Oh, so yeah, you had the same problem. In that analogy, regardless, but that's what we're looking at. You know, the punk method would be, hey, asshole, why are you special and why does mine not work? And what they're pointing out is the storyteller has to be on the up and up of how they want things to work to tell an interesting story. It is possible that any thin blood can screw around if they inherently are understanding what they're trying to concoct and cook is to borrow or take and duplicate powers that they see that they'll never have and make versions of it. That's the theme to Thin Blood Alchemy. And if they could do that, great. If they have time to study it, fantastic. But they're playing with fire.
Yeah.
And that's what it wants to highlight, right? So that's the effect. And it's to give you the feel that if you're running Thin Bloods or playing one, you're supposed to feel like you're Prometheus a little bit. I got that right now. We'll use Icarus. I'm using Prometheus wrong, but you're Icarus, right? Wings melting too close to the sun is a better analogy there. That's the idea. Now, that doesn't mean if you're a big time occultist, you're assed out. if you like tradition. I like both. If you like tradition, it's here. But again, they're telling you, put in the work. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make a super special book for your elitist ass, Bob, that's going to be dripping with all the occult dark secrets of Cthulhu Vampire for you. But we'll tell you, thumbs up. A lot of us like it too, but that's over here. That's why we put some elements for you here. And you got your call down. You have your clans. Make your story. Perfectly normal. I think that's great. If that answers your question.
It does. It does. And you know, you reminded me of something. There's a point in the, again, in that wonderful section I like where they explain to you how you do your own thing. They say, when you're working on new Thin Blood Alchemy, keep in mind it's random. Whatever effect you were looking for is probably not precisely what's going to happen, but that's not the point. You're going to get something that works.
I like how you put that, and we'll let that stay. That's absolutely what I enjoy about this book.
Yeah.
However, Movers and Shakers opens up the story a bit, and we're now in the secrets chapter officially. And in here, you'll see that they have, you know, I said we're moving on. I'm sorry. Oh, I did mention clans. That's the unique thing we can't go over. For you V20 fans, you're not used to hearing a Malkavian with blood sorcery.
Yeah.
In fact, that's going to hit you a little weird. But as weird as that is, what if I told you Bruja have it now too? It's going to hit you a little weird. What about Nos with it? Should they have it? I one time had a player tell me that, you know, they made a France by Night book where the Nosferatu had thaumaturgy in it. And I was like, I'm going to need an explanation, but we'll see it. And then when I read it, I was like, well, why the fuck wouldn't they have it?
Yeah.
Dark rituals, ancient times. Sure. Fits for me. And they were like, but you're Bob. Wouldn't you stand against it and burn that idea down? I didn't make the book. And plus, I have to translate it. For me to read the story, I had to do a lot of Google usage to freaking get through that book bit. But I don't know if you've ever had to translate a book not in your language and go through it's a 300-plus plate. Get the hell out of here. There's a reason. I remember reviewing that book and literally stopping and recording going, I am not. I am not. Because there's way too much of reliance on Google. And I didn't know a French guy who spoke English that could sit there and go, Bob, that's not what that passage should read. It should look like. Because there were a lot of mistakes I found in the book. And I went, wait a second. Are these Google mistakes or are they French author mistakes? Which one is this?
Or both. No reason they couldn't be both.
Exactly. So I was like, we'll let the book be what it is. Still a good book. But the point, I digress. That's there's a talk about clans. Non-traditional clans now have access to the scene of the occult. And remember what the scene is. It's just to be another stomping ground for the players and those coteries to get involved with in a buying and trade system of magical books, artifacts, blood, definitely blood, that folks need to power their rituals and get them done. And interesting characters and titles to go with it. Way more than we're going to go into for a review. Maybe later on down the road we'll get into it more, but the book's really more fun to look at those templates and figure that out, and that's in the player section. Now we're on to the mysteries. Now the movers and shakers are what we're going to jump right into. And the reason being is because here's where I started getting chin checked, as we call it. First off, they mentioned Sioris, and basically rather the ruins of Sioris. And how they mentioned Sioris is basically, Sioris was hit by this super uber technical hunter group. Here's what they did. Here's what happened. Here's the group that cleaned them up. And that's it. They confiscated the goods. They sit in some vault over here and they're figuring them out because some stuff didn't melt. You had slabs of silver and whole slabs of silver with weird etch marks in it, stuff they couldn't even touch. And they took it all in an occult bin, brought it over and keep it here in checkpoint vault here, assigned scientists, and there it sits. And then come these story hooks where certain hunters dream about other vampires because they have certain items that should remain in Sioris, but they had them in their chantry and they're going around collecting them. Dun, dun, dun. Basically, it's a bunch of hooks of how to make it to where your players really don't want to deal anything at all with the prime chantry going down or anything of the sort. And I was like, okay. All right, and it's not super big. It's just basically I told you everything they had in there, a couple ideas and some stuff, and I was like, hunter fodder. Not a problem. I can get behind that. Room to do it. And I didn't say it was bad. I just said I was like, Well, let's move on. A section I did have the one critique I have in this book, it's twofold here. First one, the Goratrixians, or the Goratricines, this term they made up. And what a Goratricine is, it's the current phase or phrase for followers of Goratrix. Basically, they, or what is it? The alternate word was the Goratreros.
If you're South
America, it's like, okay, sure, whatever. And basically what they are is that they have a goal to restore the old structure of the Tremere. They want to once more be an international, top-down, highly leveraged community where you know, a blood bond worked, but they don't have it anymore. So they rely on dominate and clever use of presence to make it to where there's a hierarchy to understand, to go about the mysteries. And I said, that's not the Gore tricks I know.
You do? Okay, I'm not crazy. Go ahead.
So that's not the Gore tricks I know, but I'm going to leave that alone. And then they say, but don't worry. There are solitarchies. These are individual domains existing independent of the pyramid ladder, partly by choice and partly from necessity. By becoming stubbornly local, solitarchy, gotta make sure I have that word right. It's so weird. Yeah, solitarchy chantries become more agile, more open to negotiation, more pliable, and far more able to say, basically not my problem, to anything that is stinking up the backyard of said domain as they have it there. And I was like, that's Goratrix.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Goratrix I know. If you guys look it up, look up Goratrix, how he was used in Clan, and Goratrix was the guy who got stuff done, and Etrius was the guy in Clan Tremere that wanted to order and hold it down, because he was the, the apple polisher for Tremere. And I cheekily wonder if someone, that's a typo error, like they reversed the titles, and someone got that wrong?
So maybe it is a nod to the theme you were just talking about, right? Like, before, with the elders, maybe the Goratricines are the new elders. They used to be the rebels, and they've aged into the position of being the old keepers of the old secrets and the old ways, who are now trying to gather the young, easily manipulated.
I think we're forgetting who Goratrix is. We all know he was Sabbat, right? We all know he went that route.
I'm trying to spackle this, Bob.
I ain't spackling shit. I'm saying that they might have done it on deliberate, but I ain't going to settle for that. I ain't going to go in that, like, oh, really? We got it confused? That ain't it. What I think this is that nobody knows what Goratrix was like, and they came up with that. That's what I think it is. He's a famed figure that's mentioned, and we know he wasn't in the Prime Chantry, so they're latching on to some dude who might be wandering around being alive. We all know the vaunted fate of Goratrix, depending on what Gehenna nonsense you want to follow. And I guess maybe not they're going with that. Doesn't matter. He's not around. And so these are people dancing to that tune. I just found it nitpicky. You know me. I'm going to find one thing that didn't hit me right, but at the same time, nothing's wrong with those terms. I'm actually tickled that there are two things, you know, one group, we can be Tremere again, bring it back, and blah, blah, and another group going, look, we're Tremere. We're all hanging out. We chipped in. We all pay rent around here. What you want, Prince? You talking to all of us. I'm only talking to him. Well, you talking to all of us.
Trust me.
See, I get the ritual goods. He does the ritual itself. Disguised Blood's the seventh son of the seventh son to answer that witch bullshit that we be running into sometimes. And we got three thin blood alchemists that sit around and like to make shit all the time. That's why you wondered why my regnant here could lift half your car. Yeah, it's a temporary thing. He'll blot his back. He does it again in two nights, but he lifted this time, didn't he? And the prince is like, "What?" And you must be the social one. Damn right. We all pull weight around here. But what you want us to do? I have a werewolf problem. Not us, partner. Deuces. And they all get up and leave. Right? They're done. Like, wait, but to be in my city? Yeah, you can't even find our chantry. I could tell you right now we're not in your city. You'll never see us again. Don't test me. And they walk out. But they have that pull where before they were lackeys. In other words, when you're left for nowhere to go and you got nowhere to hide, what does it matter? Who's, you know what I mean? They make their own rules. And I think that's pretty cool. So a solitarchy chantry might be something to get into and players to get down on. I could definitely see at least players that I know that would love to sit around and debate what's going to happen and not in their chantry. Because I'll tell you what it does. It brings back that mage feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember the real chantry feel? We're all going to talk about our occult secrets, what we got going on. You can play them games again without fear of a weird Vienna elder coming around and going, what are you doing? You know, it's whatever we like, Jack. Like, move on.
Sing it like that.
it's a good feel is all I'm saying.
All right. I agree.
Banu Hakim's typical, you know, but they're only mentioned in here because they're telling you that basically They're home. Their mountain's gone. They're just squirrels trying to get a nut. Of course, they have blood sorcerers, but you know you have blood sorcerers who are teaching old secrets, like watered down versions of Silence of the Blood, right? Quietus level one, and they got a knockoff ritual for that in here where they're like, yeah, sell it. We made it. You could take that, but it's going to cost me. Basically, the judges have opening for there could be other people who care about other things. So the occultists. Is it called a blood sorcerer? No, it'd be a red worker. A Banu Hakim who's into the red worker scene is how you would refer to that. So it doesn't matter. In other words, they're holding that thing. Your clan doesn't make you who you are.
Yeah.
So you can do a little bit of this and that. And it's no big deal. But my favorite part of this chapter is Mrs. Chopra.
Oh, get. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. I, Mike, you don't understand. I said that name, so you gave that response. I knew if I said I came to this section, it's like Mike got something to say.
Look,
Mrs. Chopra.
I liked Miss Chopra so much that I felt guilty for liking her so much. Right? They tell the story. Mrs. Chopra really loves her husband. Bad stuff happens. There's some mystique as to why. But somehow, Mrs. Chopra gets her hands on a Nagaraja who starts spilling the beans. And she takes it upon herself to, like, think it through, right? What are the consequences if I try to exploit this vampire and exploit this information? And my God, she's an NPC who makes a good choice. I love my husband. I have a vampire who's an ally I can keep at arm's length. Let me leverage all of my resources as a brilliant tech billionaire to do some things that you'll learn about if you read the ST section when you shouldn't. And it was just, I was waiting for the misstep. I was waiting for the moment of WTF. And Mrs. Chopper's great. I liked her.
There's a whole section of WTF with Mrs. Chopper. Like, why haven't we put a bullet in her head? Well, and called it a day?
Because right? she's got to be here.
But you can. Because she's in this book to introduce to your world of darkness.
But Bob, right? She's so good, Bob. You can't shoot Mrs. Chopper.
Look, I can shoot her in the face with a sawed-off shotgun any day of the week and not lose sleep over. And I'm going to tell you why. You say she's good. Let me point out to you the best villains. The best villains have the most proper intentions. Those are the best villains. But I do not call her good. Why don't call her good? She has a husband who goes into a coma. They both started this company together. And she's in a facet of this company handling the tech, but they're into, like, I think medical and stuff like that. On his end. Big company helping tons of people doing good. He falls into a coma. Boo-hoo, sad face, right? And that sucks. But then this company's doing research, and as they start going through files and figuring out what's going on, because they're in a power vacuum, in a power grab. Shareholders don't know what's going on. The corporation's kind of flubbing. They don't know what's going on. So imagine a big medical company going through this, but they have this tech side. And then they decide that they're going to lean hard into the tech side. Because that's all they have to go for. So the tech side's like, yeah, we'll take over, but let's look at the projects to see what we're going to downsize. And they go looking into it, like, why did this brilliant scientist disappear? And when they start looking into it, that's how they found the Nagaraja. Was because there's several missing scientists because this Nagaraja was stupid, it seems. And then that's the one that gets caught. And she was like, what is it again? Capture it. Sure. It cost her a lot of people to get. And then she learns vampires are real. And how they do that is she goes, oh my God, vampires are real. Ooh. Hmm. And right then she could have been like, well, kill it. Look at the damage it's done. Get rid of it. And she goes, we're a medical company. Let's find out what she knows. And they start going into it, and she mentions what she can do. And they're like, looking at these files, my husband has some of the traits and weaknesses exhibited before he fell into his coma. I might find a cure. That's where the evil is injected into Mrs. Chopra. It's not that she loves her husband. It's that she's willing to do anything it takes to get him back, regardless of who she kills in the process. She's already accepted it.
And again, I wouldn't... I'm a Miss Chopper apologist, right? I'm not trying to say she's not evil, right? She's got all the potential, right? You could run in some Pentex through Mrs. Chopra. You could have her doing some real awful stuff somewhere where the cameras won't see it. She could be whatever you need her to be. But I the reason I liked her so much is because how this book presents her.
Right. Like she does conferences once a year where she honors the people who have ran around and stolen, killed, and captured vampires mercilessly, especially the kill part, whoever they find, and regardless of the fact this team suffers casualties. She apologizes that they're dead, but is so glad they did it, and then gives them gifts and money to keep it on, keep it on. And that's why she represents in a faction to go against players. that one can use. So I'm not going to hear your apologist. There's no apologist needed. She's in the movers and shakers section as somebody who would be very dangerous to run into, but she makes the scene, and she does. You're used to a Renfield. You're used to a Renfield ghoul running up and going, "My master will gladly pay you Tuesday for a thaumaturgy ritual today," right? You've ran into that, right? Cue the spider eating and the creepiness. Okay, we run into that guy. You've also ran into, "I'm the child of an illustrious Tremere. Will you several boons," right? You've run into that. What you haven't run into is this is a panel boardroom meeting. Thank you for meeting here tonight. There's bottles of water out for everyone. Would you like a bottle of water, Mike? Representative of what again? I represent Vlad. Right. Vlad. Would you like a drink of water? I don't drink water. And you smile, and they're like, okay. Well, and they themselves, they of course don't drink water either, but you see them make the sound of the cross with the water. And half of them rub their hands on it, and they pat it on your head, and you're sitting here going, why is it feeling comfortable in the room a little bit? And then like, if you don't mind, we're going to start the presentation. They click on a light overhead, and it's UV light that's slowly making you sweat blood. And you're like, I need to leave. And she's like, oh, about that. No. This meeting was going to be what we were going to give you for what we need. Now it's going to be what we're taking from you and you as well. Unless you can give us what we need. One way or the other, you're a vampire. And I have use for you. That's the insidiousness of Mrs. Chopra. Is that mm-hmm. can happen. But what if you have something she can need and she has no way of knowing what you are? Well, if you're obeying the rules of V5 in the masquerade and you're staying hidden, she never knows what you are. And you avoid that. And you don't necessarily even meet her, but she shakes up the city that you use her in to give you those tips. That's my point. And it's not just Mrs. Chopper in this book. There are a couple where I was like, ooh, that's evil to have somewhere that nobody even thought about running into and worthwhile checking out. Pretty fun. Now, all that said, we're going to leave some to the imagination for folks to buy and check out. That's the goal. But I will say they have a section called Men on the Path, and these are, of course, antagonists, creatures, artifacts, strange tomes, all that good stuff. That's in this book too, to a degree. And that's fun to read. And overall, I think this is a great addition to V5.
Yeah, I concur. I agree completely.
So folks, that's it. Get this book, enjoy it. And if you're not a fan of V5, you probably shouldn't be listening to this review because it's weird. If you don't like it, why are you listening to it? But if you're a fan of vampires as a whole, V5 included, and it's hit or miss, or you're on the fence and you just want something to add to your library, this book's out. It's hot. Get it. You will not regret it. And so, Mike, thank you. I appreciate it. And on behalf of 25 Years team, thank you, Renegade, for putting out something we feel awesome about that comes out of V5. And it's not to say there hasn't been other stuff, but it's been a bit. But this is golden. Thank you.
Yeah, I second
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Mike.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to our 25 Years of Vampire the Masquerade podcast. If you liked what you heard, please reach out and let us know on Twitter at 25 Years of VTM, at our email, info@25yearsvtm.com, on Facebook at www.facebook.com/25yearsvtm, or on our website, www.25yearsvtm.com. If you would like to support us, we can be found at patreon.com/25yearsofvampirethemasquerade.